Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to the NutriMedical Report. And last year we had David Nierley from the Basal Medical Institute. And I think, David, you're the one of the chief teachers and salespersons for Basal Medical. Where are you located?
I live in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Right. Now, Basal Medical is the primary company for extracorporeal counterpulsation therapy, ECCP. And we did some videos last year. Actually, you were actually in my studio here in Vista, California. And we did some audio as well. So if you pull up the Deagle-Network, you can just go back and put in Vasa Medical. You'll see all the shows we've done in the videos. I want people to understand that I'm a scientist first and a physician second. Now, I've tried to be available to my patient customers 7 days a week, and I am. I do consulting. During the weekend of Memorial Day, how many consults, either by email or phone, do you think I did just on that weekend? Around 70. Now, we're not just talking about minor stuff. We're talking about people that are talking to daily. They're in the intensive care unit in hospitals outside Chicago, or they're in liver failure, or they're trying to get into a clinic in Europe for stem cell therapy. So I deal with the most complex cases on earth and act as a consultant. And I want to tell you, I like to ask scientific questions because I don't mind swimming in the sea of I'm stupid or I'm ignorant before I become wise. And one of the things that I've discovered is if you ask better questions, you'll often find that many of the people that are in a specific area, especially whether it's medicine, law, politics, science, technology, they really haven't thought things through. For example, the developers of Vasa Medical Technology, which is ECCP, how did they originally discover this? Because you're actually pulsing by putting little trousers on the legs and the calves. After each heartbeat, and the little pulse actually pushes blood back to the heart in between contractions. And it has an amazing effect on creating new collateral blood flow, reversing heart failure, and actually, in a sense, being an alternative to doing cardiac stents or bypass surgery. And it's very effective, especially when we add some of our newer technologies to that, including things to improve cardiac regeneration with peptides, and of course my new Red Deer Velvet DR, and epigenetic therapy such as hyperbaric oxygen that releases nitric oxide, as well as my epigenetic frequency therapy, which we now have the frequencies to stimulate the DNA. But Vasa Medical, how did they start off? For the people who haven't listened to the shows before or looked at the videos, how did the original scientists and cardiologists, because obviously they were thinking out of the box, to come up with this idea?
Yeah, this was originally developed by Dr. John Huey, who is since deceased. He worked at Stony Brook in New York, and he got the idea from some people in China. He was Chinese himself, got
right.
The idea from some colleagues. And he began with simple, very crude-looking metal sleeves that you had to put your leg in with water flowing in it, that they use the water to compress the compress the legs to push the blood back to the heart during diastole. They knew the principle of exercise and that there was some results from being able to augment the flow of the blood back to the heart during diastole.
Right. So now, why did he think that was? Because when the heart contracts, there's very little blood not only in the heart but also in the coronary arteries. So when this happens, there's a lot of blood flow in the coronary arteries. It stimulates the arteries to make new collateral blood circulation, new arteries, doesn't it? So you can do a pre and post angiogram or a cardiac CT scan, and what you see is it actually turns your heart back to actually make new collaterals. I call it the alligator heart effect, where you make all kinds of collateral blood flow, and the areas where you had angina or decreased circulation disappear, don't they?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's what happens. It causes the vessel, the veins, to be exercised more. There's a release of nitric oxide, which stimulates the vessels to smooth out and let the more blood flow. And along the way, it also, as you said, develops more collateral vessels in the heart. If you look at a really healthy heart, or one that's gone through ECP for 35 treatments, it's quite a contrast in terms of, as you say, maybe on a nuclear medicine study or PET, the numbers of vessels and the size of them post-treatment is dramatically
it continues to grow months after the treatment's over too, doesn't it?
Yeah, the best situation is for those that had, let's say, poor lifestyles, bad eating habits, were overweight, things like that. They bring those things back into control following EECP, and they absolutely can continue to improve their health and be stronger and get rid of angina and many other problems that have been documented that helped.
Now, I'm going to throw in a few questions because I'm sure you meet some doctors like me that like to ask questions that are kind of never been brought up before. Okay, the first question I'm going to ask, I'm going to pretend you asked it for me, but is what causes coronary artery spasm? I did a study with a large Holter monitoring company in Georgia back in 1987. And we had a large number of people who lost, many doctors actually had people we put on Holter monitor for up to a month. And what we discovered is one-third of males over 30, you didn't have to be old guys, but one-third of males over 30 just with hypertension and no cardiac symptoms of shortness of breath, chest pain, or decreased exercise tolerance had coronary vascular spasm, where you could actually see SDT wave changes across their Holter monitor. One-third.
Wow.
Now, what's interesting is you actually see it in older people and you actually cross-check it with their cardiac angiograms or a high-speed CT scan. What you find is the areas where they had coronary spasm is exactly where they developed plaque. So if you look at a high-speed CT and you look at which arteries, left end or descending circumflex artery, the exact areas where they have plaque is where they get a coronary spasm. Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah.
Now, I put together a theory about this, which is kind of radical. Have you ever heard of a disorder called neurangiosis?
No.
No. Neurangiosis is where your autonomic nervous system. Now, what I did, and I'll roll back a little bit. Before I went into to university, I taught myself quantum physics, in grade 11. I actually did an aptitude test with 7,000 people who were applying for a scholarship at MIT. And I beat 7,000 people. Many of them already had master's and even bachelor's degrees in physics. And I was only in grade 11, and I beat them to get a PhD scholarship at MIT in nuclear physics.
Congratulations.
So,
wonderful.
Well, I didn't go into nuclear physics because I knew I had the potential. What I was thinking about was technology to create the most advanced weapon systems on Earth, and I didn't want to get sucked into doing something devilish. So I went into oceanography and honors biochemistry, and I did my PhD project in marine genetics and finished the project at age 21. I didn't write the thesis, but I finished the project by sleeping on the lab floor. Now, the first question I'm going to ask is, back in medical school in the 70s, I worked with Dr. John Woodbury. And Dr. Woodbury was the head of the American and Canadian Arthritis Association. One of the first questions I asked him, because he wanted to review 26,000 cases in their database of arthritis, different kinds of autoimmune arthritis, rheumatoid, scleroderma, mixed connective tissue disease. And I also worked in the Synovia Analysis Immunology Lab in medical school. And I asked him questions, and they said, nobody asked these ever before to me, even as rheumatologists and residents and so on. And the first question I ask is, why does someone get rheumatoid arthritis to their right knee and their left knee is perfectly fine? And he looked at me like, oh, why did you ask that? I said, well, if they have T-activated lymphocytes, there's the same passages, there's the same cartilage in their other knee. Now, I carried that question further, and back about 20 years ago, I was looking around the idea that maybe there's specific quantum biocircuits that allow you to actually create disease in any organ. So 36 years ago, I presented a lecture to a panel of biophysicists with Dr. Rollins, the head of the biophysics department of the University of Calgary, and my lecture was called Phonon Maser Biophysics. So I actually worked out the biophysics of how all biological life forms, whether they're on Earth or off in exoplanetary research and distant stars, require a quantum biocircuit to occur for a disease state to occur. And I explained it with quantum energy transfer equations. So when we come back, I'm going to explain this as to why I believe the primary thing that drives coronary spasm is your autonomic nervous system, and I think a vasomedical treatment actually alters that. It changes the autonomic nervous system, and coronary spasm and the oxidative stress creates plaque. Interesting, eh? David, so the reason why I'm saying this story, and I want you to respond to it, is I discovered that your autonomic nervous system regulates it. Now, I really believe that ECCP therapy is the type of therapy. I really don't like to refer people for stents or bypasses, even if they're getting angina, but a lot of people don't have angina before they have a big, you know, coronary event. Every disease state requires a quantum biocircuit in dysautonomia, and you can actually tell it's a dysautonomia of your autonomic nervous system with a digital photograph. So cardiac patients should actually get not only a Holter monitor to see if they have STT wave changes in specific leads, but also they should get a digital photograph, because it turns out that the autonomic nerves that regulate the heart also regulate what's called the cardia, which is the upper stomach, and the lower esophagus, believe it or not. Same nerves. Isn't that fascinating?
Amazing.
Yeah, now, I don't know if you've ever heard cardiologists say that dysautonomia was a primary cause, because when you get a dysautonomia, you get abnormal production of excessive free radicals, and if you capture those free radicals, you're in good state. Now, if you lower someone's blood sugar too fast, you increase the oxidative stress that actually attaches to cholesterol, forming 9-neuronyl hydroxycholesterol, which your body can even make antibodies to, and oxidizing fatty acids. And if you have a crappy diet, which has polyunsaturated fats, they're going to get oxidized. And when your macrophage, which means big eater cell, eats those little globules, they die and become foam cells, which is the nidus for plaque, releasing soluble ICAM-1 and 2 and triggering off platelet and fibrin layer upon layer like a tar paper shack in Haiti. Now, when I talk to cardiologists, a lot of them think it's voodoo, but everybody with increased dysautonomia also has increased blood viscosity. So I use Meridian Valley Labs. I had one of the only blood laser viscometers west of Harvard, because I worked with a Harvard cardiologist back in the late 90s and early 2000s. Because when my father died at 67 after exposure to a lot of toxins working in heavy water plants, nuclear plants, etc., and his parents and all his family lived in their high, late 80s or even 90s. So he died 20 years plus before his parents. And he was at ideal weight, by the way. He was a very fit guy. He actually was climbing up on his radio tower the day before above his home. It was like 60 feet above his roof. So what I want people to understand is I'm a problem solver. And what I understand is that no one has circumscribed that there's dysautonomia causing heart disease. No one looks at the free radicals or the quantum biocircuits that actually cause it. But I believe you're not just improving blood flow and diastole. You're reassessing and readjusting the autonomic nervous system that's out of balance in people that are causing coronary vascular spasm, and oxidative stress will create plaque in specific territories where the nerves are actually stimulating vascular spasm. It's the same area. So if you do a high-speed CT scan, you'll see exactly the same ones that show up on a Holter monitor or a stress general test are the ones that are going to show calcification on the plaque, and also you show dysautonomia. Now, I don't know if the original researchers understood that, but it's interesting that Dr. Yui, who's Chinese, and I have Chinese scientists I've been in communication with, they have a ton of technology in China for looking at circulation. We almost ignore it. We don't look at perfusion or how the nervous system regulates perfusion. There's a lot to it. For example, when someone's obese, did you know if you do a thermogram, all their obese, say, fatty tissue around their middle, the normal core temperature of that area of the body is maybe 10 to 20 degrees below normal core temperature. Did you know that? It's a suspended animation. So someone's obese, their obese tissue is actually maybe 20 degrees below their core. Isn't that crazy?
Wow. That's unbelievable.
Now, has anybody ever mentioned that? No, I worked in a physiology lab with Dr. Lovejoy, and when I was doing occupational medicine, we had a physiology lab we can do with our METs and actually clamp their nose and measure how much carbon dioxide and oxygen they require based on our lean body mass. And what I realized is that no one's asking enough questions to realize what is heart disease. I did research with Dr. Moskowitz 41 years ago when we drew bloods from Eskimos in Northwest Territories and Alaskans. And they actually had cholesterols 10 to 15 times our upper limit of normal. Not 300, 3,500 plus. And none of them got heart disease. They were chunky-shaped people because they had to maintain their body mass in extremely cold climate. But they weren't fat. And they used to eat seal flipper and whale narwhal blubber, the little pouch, seal flipper pouch, they had hanging on their belt, around their middle. It was hilarious. They never had white man's alcohol, bread, canned peas, or anything else. They ate blubber and seal flipper all day long. That was their gum.
Wow.
And they never got heart disease, ever. Now, when you drew their blood, it was like getting the old milk when I was a kid, you see, in the 50s. I used to get up really early because I was a sneaky kid. And I tried to get the cream on the top because it was before we homogenization. Now, if you're a good kid and you like cream, you get the milk. The milkman used to come in our house, and I'd come in and put it in our fridge. Now, people don't know that because I lived in a different world in the 50s than people live now. The milkman didn't leave it on the front doorstep. He came in and put the milk in your fridge. Isn't that wild?
Amazing.
Now, I would be sneaking out early before anybody else, the maid or my parents get up, and I'd pour the cream off the top. Now, that's what these people's blood looked like. Now, the problem is when you don't ask enough questions, you don't enter what's called the cesspool of stupid before you can climb to the tower of wisdom. And as a problem solver, I realize people are afraid and feel stupid. I don't mind being stupid because I realize every time you ask enough questions, you're eventually going to realize the a priori assumptions you made, taught in medical school, residency, politics, science, technology, metallurgy, whatever, are probably incorrect, which is why things are not changing, whether it's a solution to a problem. Now, I think Dr. Yui, actually, in the Chinese work, she based on the basis of what's called intuitive medicine in China, in many ways are far superior to our approach to medicine. They look at perfusion as a dynamic process rather than as a static one where you treat the body like a hopper, you pour in the wrong food, and all of a sudden you got to lower your LDL cholesterol, so we're going to give you this toxic drug. By the way, it knocks out CoQ10 and makes you dysmyelinate your brain, but who cares? You're going to be demented. You're not going to have a heart attack. They know also now that when you give statin drugs to women, it increases the risk of them turning diabetic by 200%+. So if you give Zocor, Lipitor, Crestor, they're not only going to get rhabdomyolysis, it'll destroy their kidneys, they actually may just have a 200-plus chance of turning diabetic. Now, how that happens, I'm doing research on it. I'm going to publish my paper on what is the genesis of the famine genes that cause people to turn diabetic. Now, our entire culture, and clearly every culture, including now China eating a westernized diet, are all turning diabetic. We're all developing hyperinsulinemia, hyperglucagonemia, elevated cortisol and stress hormone levels, and we're getting dysautonomia and coronary vascular spasm, and we have abnormal lipids that are easily oxidized with high levels of free radicals, and we don't buffer or take the antioxidants to prevent those free radicals from happening. Singlet oxygen, hydroperoxy, nitroperoxy radical, which we, by the way, have nutraceuticals that will neutralize it. So what I do when I tell people to get Vasomedical, I say, don't go to the GD, vascular surgeon, do a stent or a bypass, even if you get angina, get ECCP therapy, which I can direct you, there's clinics all across America, and get on my nutraceuticals, get on lumen photon therapy over the areas when frequency number 3 to actually adjust your autonomic nervous system, get into ECCP therapy, and the best way to deliver that now is our sonic life machine that can actually deliver the frequencies developed by this speaker expert in Korea. The sonic life machine will actually deliver, you can actually hear the song of DNA that I can send to you as an MP3 played through the machine directly through the woofers and the magnetic fields and the cells. I'm working on microcurrent. I can actually get you an antenna and broadcast in the air. I can send an MP3, and we're working on trying to get to the lumen pads, but you have to understand ECCP is how you lower blood pressure, reverse heart failure, reverse coronary artery spasm, and vascular disease do not rush into a bypass or stents. There's no extension of life. All the research has shown this now, if you get a bypass or stents, none.
It's a very...
We have Fareed, and we just got off with two segments. David will be back next Monday. I'll let him talk a lot more. I wanted to share some of the stories because, like most diseases, whether it's cancer or heart disease, whatever, my theory and current level of knowledge of what causes different diseases is totally different than the so-called standard operating thesis of the so-called medical and health professions. It doesn't matter what specialty, medical, chiropractic, osteopathy, whatever. And it's more complete and it's based on science. It can be validated with scientific technology. For example, the formula, before we get into the seven components, that your dad, Sam Ibrahim, developed as a pharmacognosist trained in Germany, which is, by the way, the most advanced place for pharmacological healthcare formulations, is Germany. It's not China or Japan, it's Germany. Is number one, you're trying to reduce the formation of plaque. You're trying to reduce the imbalance of the autonomic nervous system that stimulates for coronary vascular spasm. You're trying to reduce blood viscosity. You're trying to reduce the damage to the inside of the artery wall that causes the endothelial changes. And you're trying to reduce the oxidative stress on cholesterol and fatty acids that forms dead macrophages called foam cells that are the nidus for form plaque. And if you can accomplish those with a formula, and I take a whole lot of Cardiovasc, it makes a huge difference in whether or not someone, number one, will get heart disease, number two, whether it'll end up with them face planting or dying. So let's go through this, because people need to understand this is not alternative medicine. I mean, there are some times when I'm going to recommend certain drugs that someone's gone too far, their blood pressure's into orbit and their heart failure. Drugs like Entresto, which, by the way, we have natural alternatives. I have people that can't go in heart failure on that because it's too damn expensive. So they take our vein away, and as well as Cardiovasc. So it's like Sacubitril, which is the diosmin that helps to protect the artery wall. Or they may need some methyl and bioelvar to reduce homocysteine that's burning up the artery wall and oxidizing cholesterol. So let's go through the seven components because people should understand that it's an orchestra of positive event changes that occur in the body that prevents you from developing North American Western-style heart disease. And if you have someone that has cholesterols of 3,500 in Eskimos and they don't get heart disease, you have to wonder why is somebody with a cholesterol of 220 in America needing a bypass surgery or about to have a cardiac event or throw off an embolus? It's because our North American diet is cardiotoxic. It actually induces heart disease, embolism, circulatory problems to the brain, so you get a stroke or end up with the circle of Willis blocking off, so you end up with hypoxic circulatory perfusion problems. And Sam actually figured out how to do this formula. And there's some knockoff companies, I'm not going to mention their names, but anybody other than Cardiovasc is full of it. And these yahoos out there trying to pretend that they've invented this formula, they haven't. They're not even using the right part of the plant or testing every batch to make sure the biomolecules at the right concentration are present in the formula. So it doesn't have the consistency, doesn't have the right part of the plant, doesn't have the biomolecules to cause and affect the changes necessary to prevent heart disease. And I do add other things to our Cardiovasc formula to deal with the other components that need to be dealt with, but it's like a tent. The main pole in the center of the tent of protecting against heart disease is Cardiovasc. So let's go through the components, Fareed.
Sure. So the first component is the hawthorn.
And the hawthorn and you're using which part of the plant, though? Everybody else uses the wrong part, don't they?
We use leaf and flower extract, which is it's different from what most companies are doing. So.
Most people are aware of digoxin, which is a foxglove plant to actually make your heart contract. Well, Vitaxin is similar. It makes your heart and your mitochondria contract in your heart and your blood vessels. The heart only pushes blood about one-third of the blood flow to your peripheral tissues. The rest is the secondary peristaltic wave created by your aorta and your vessels going to your head superiorly from the aorta, and then the inferiorly, all the arteries that go to your perfusion to your body and the arterioles, releasing nitric oxide. So two-thirds of the blood flow or plus is actually caused by your arteries contracting in response to the shearing force of the pulse wave that hits those arteries. And you need that stimulation to the mitochondria. It's actually the medial layer of the vessel wall, as well as the heart itself. The mitochondrial function is stimulated by the Vitexin. Okay, what's next?
So then we have the garlic.
And it's aged garlic, and it contains more than just the components we have in allicin and allicin med. It has components that... Oh, I hear click-clicky sounds.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, because I caught you on your keyboard. So, anyway, the next component, of course, is the aged garlic, and has two things. It blocks angiotensin-converting enzymes, and number two, it's going to kill the nanobacteria. Most people think, well, my arteries are sterile. I'm sterile inside. No, you're not. You're a battlefield of bugs. Now, I use the analogy. You probably heard the stupid analogy before, but I used to use it to make people laugh, because sometimes their brain sensor band opens up, and all of a sudden it's like hearing a musical song. You can't get out of your head because, oh, damn it, Deagle shouldn't have said that. Now I can't get that music out of my head. Well, I'm going to put this in your head. What's worse, being chewed up and eaten alive by wolves or ducks?
Well, I would say ducks.
You're right, because you're pretty smart. You probably heard the joke before. Wolves will eat you real quick, and it'll hurt for a few minutes, and then they're going to down their throat. But ducks don't have teeth, so it's going to take them months to eat you. Right? Right? They have to kind of suck off pieces of you, which until it rots, it's not going to come off very easily. So ducks are bad. Now, you got to remember, most of the bugs inside you are like ducks. They don't have teeth. Bacteria, viruses, whatever, they have to spongy form your tissue, destroy the mitochondria, make it liquefy, whatever. They got to eat you by like ducks. And your body is a battlefield. You don't just have nanobacteria. You got Epstein-Barr virus, cytomegalovirus, all kinds of things chewing away. And most people don't realize even cancer is a fungus. There may be other co-pathogens with it, but it's always a fungus. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
So when someone 23 gets cancer of the colon or whatever, or cancer of the something, they got a fungus. And there's aflatoxins that are incredibly toxic to DNA. In fact, as are more toxic than radiation, like a radioisotope like plutonium. Did you know that?
No,
aflatoxins,
sure.
Nasty. Yeah. Now, they can cause DNA intercalation, they can actually break DNA, and cause all kinds of nasty crosslinks. So what you have to understand is that if you're going to try to heal the body, you got to kill off the nanobacteria and the pathogens. We have other things you can give. We can give you NutriDefense. It'll kill all RNA and DNA viruses and pathogenic bacteria. We've got Nutrimune 26Y that has 26 major immunoglobulins plus transfer factors. We've got Neutrodyne, which is the Tesla-activated monatomic iodine, the most powerful antipathogenic. We've got AllisonMed from Germany, and we've got NutriSilver I design with liposomal enzymatic envelope to make it the most powerful silver in the world that crosses the various cell membranes, and so that it goes, all of these go right through the biofilm like it's not even there. Now, that's what's neat, is you actually have that component in this. So when you're taking it, you're killing off the nanobacteria that are cooking your arteries, because all your arteries are full. The same nanobacteria that grow in your teeth grow in your artery walls. Isn't that nasty?
Mm-hmm.
Disgusting, too, isn't it? Next. Yep. Next.
Then we have the ginkgo.
Ginkgo is going to release nitric oxide. And it's very important to understand what ginkgo is doing. It's actually releasing and improving the microcirculation. The other one is good is the curcumin and the other things that increase the release of nitric oxide. Next.
So then we have the bilberry.
Bilberry is a dialyzable antioxidant. It grabs free radicals. And what's the smallest antioxidant, believe it or not, is hydrogen. It grabs free radicals very nicely. But bilberry is the smallest biological one, like from plants or animals or anything. So it goes deeply through any organ and grab free radicals, because that's why things like blueberry pie, blueberry this and that, and bilberry are extremely good to stop free radicals. Next component.
Did we mention a cayenne?
The cayenne is one we mentioned with nitric oxide. It works along
right.
With the
ginkgo. Right, yeah, I think it's a ginkgo that we haven't talked about.
And the ginkgo is going to improve microcirculation and improve perfusion. Then we have, of course, the...
valerian and milk soap.
Valerian is going to rebalance your autonomic nervous system because it's dysautonomia where your autonomic nerves are overstimulated to cause coronary spasms. It actually hits the territory of a specific artery that causes a plaque and spasm to occur in that area because it damages it. There you go. It takes really smart people to be that stupid, but they are. And welcome back. So, Reed. So, who do you think qualifies to take cardiovascular? Who do you think should have cardiovascular in their diet daily? Either the drops, the tincture, or the capsule?
Pretty much anyone over 20.
Three criteria. Number one, anybody with hypertension over 20. Number two, anybody with a low perfusion study. There's a test called an endopath or endothelix. A lot of people think, well, if my blood pressure is normal, I get normal perfusion. That's not always the case. There's a lot of physicians in China, for example, use all kinds of technology to determine if you have bad perfusion. And it may be very localized. Maybe you got bad perfusion to your hands and feet because you got Raynaud's syndrome. Maybe you got bad perfusion to one artery to your chest because you get dysautonomia of the autonomic nerves supplying specific arteries to your heart. Maybe you got maybe you've got bad perfusion because you've got a terrible diet and lifestyle, and you're not getting enough exercise. And maybe you've got dyslipidemia that may be genetic and or dietarily induced. What people don't understand, no matter what your reason, if you have hypertension or malperfusion, and if you do an endopath or endothelix test, even people with normal tension may have bad perfusion. In fact, they did some studies and they found if you over-treat someone's blood pressure, then it can actually lower their perfusion. I had a gentleman recently who I have to be a consultant with every day while he was in ICU in outside Chicago. And these knucklehead cardiologists were actually over-treating him to the point where they dropped his pressure so damn low, he couldn't stand up. I said, they're dehydrating him. They had him on two diuretics. They were over-medicating him with really powerful drugs for hypertensive heart failure when he had a post-viral or post-pathogen, like spirochete, induced cardiomyopathy and heart failure. His blood pressures were not high. They were excessively low, like under systolic under 100 millimeters pressure. So these idiots, I had to actually, as he got out of hospital, say, stop taking this drug. And his blood pressure normalized to like 115 over like 76 or something, 72. It's like, come on. So you got to understand, if you're taking cardiovascular, most people are hypertensive. But if you've got either poor perfusion or a blood pressure. So if you're 25 and have hypertension, even moderate hypertension, you need to be on cardiovascular. And it takes 20 years of bad ignoring your heart problem before you develop in your 40s or early 50s heart disease, whether or not you're going to have fixed renal vascular hypertension, which starts to destroy your kidneys, or you're going to get malperfusion in your brain, you're on your way to a good stroke, or you're in your 60s or, you know, your 50s and 60s, you're all of a sudden going to need a bypass, or they're going to try to talk you into it because it make ka-ching a lot of bucks. Remember, there's a big study that came out just a few weeks ago where they broke 20,000 cases from a number of different states that had stents or bypasses, and guess what? They didn't discover that doing surgery extended their life at all. Some of them had a little less angina, but beyond that, they didn't live another month longer. Isn't that wild? So doing heart surgery on you isn't going to make you live longer. You just may reduce the amount of time before you get angina again. And by the way, you really can't go back and do a repeat coronary bypass surgery. There's two procedures that will reverse your microcirculation. The first is we talked about the first segment. It's called ECCP, extracorporeal counterpulsation. If you contact me, I'll give you on a consult. I'll actually make a connection for you to get a basic medical treatment. You take our nutraceuticals, including Cardiovasc, CoQ10, Supreme, Vascucare, Carnitine, etc., Neovasc, lower triglycerides, and Omega Supreme Pro, etc. And you take our cardiac peptides, and you may probably be using Lumen Photon, setting 3 to 4 photochromatic light therapy over your chest. And 4, we use epigenetic frequency therapy, through sonic life or microcurrent with an antenna, etc. We have all kinds of ways of inducing your DNA to start healing, but it's your autonomic nervous system, these quantum biocircuits, that actually allow disease. It doesn't occur in a vacuum. Now, you also need a good diet. You need the right nutraceuticals. Signal plus substance equals wellness. So you can't just kind of say, well, I'm just going to take the cardiac peptides, or I'm just going to go on a vegan diet and I'll be fine. No, you won't be fine. You won't be fine. You're just going to have a cardiac arrest anyway. I recently had an argument with a doctor who thinks he knows more than me. Like, please, please, if you think you know more than me, challenge me, either on or off air. It's going to be painful. Because I've asked more questions than any rational person would ask in a lifetime. In fact, if you quantitatively measured how many questions I've asked during my lifetime of 66 years, I've asked more questions than most people who have lived a millennium. And that's why I don't mind swimming in the sea or the cesspool of stupid in order to become wise. People say, well, how do you know so much, Deagle? I said, I don't mind feeling stupid in order to actually figure things out. That's why I challenge people. I say on air, I said, you can ask me a question in any sphere of human activity on Earth, and I'll give you an answer or a way to use the Gordian knot of the problem and cut it with the logic of my mind, like Alexander the Great cut the Gordian knot with a sword.
Mm-hmm.
And I want people to understand that most of your people are out there saying, yeah, my dad's going to need a bypass. No, he doesn't. He needs ECCP, or he can even go to Lutheran Hospital or four other centers in America and get an injection through a catheter where they punch 300 holes in his heart and get a inducing growth factor to grow 300 little micro arteries in his heart, and he never needs a bypass because he's got an alligator heart. But you've got to start off. As you start taking cardiovascular, for example, you're going to generate new collateral blood circulation over time, so you won't end up with a heart problem if you start now. So if you get hypertension in your mid-30s, in your mid-40s, you're going to have plenty of cardiac collateral circulation because you've been on cardiovascular for 10 years. If you already had a blockage in your leg below your knee, and in males over 40, 20% of males over 40 have a 93% blockage of at least one major artery below the knee. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You start on cardiovascular alone, I've had people that didn't take anything else. They didn't take omega fatty acids or any of that other stuff. They just tip cardiovascular, and in 6 months, their surgeon is saying, damn it, I did an angiogram or an ultrasound, and I did a NEVA arterial venous study, and I was sure I was going to be able to operate on you and buy a bigger boat. The bigger boat thing. And guess what? Damn it, I'm going to have to be satisfied with my smaller boat. Because they can't operate. Yeah. They get a lot of buco bucks. How much do you think the average surgeon gets for doing a cardiac bypass? It's $250,000.
Crazy.
It's a crazy amount of money.
Yeah.
So do you, now, I know the Cornell residents, because that's how old I am, that actually figured out, they were putting in their quote, they figured, well, this procedure, this is back in the 60s, this procedure should be, $300 to $500. That's what they said. So one of the smart alecky senior fellows of the residency program said, hey, let's add a bunch of zeros and see if they go for it. I think at that time they wanted to bump it up to $25,000 or $40,000. And the committee that actually reviewed it, the ethics committee, was, sounds good to us. The residents partied all night for days. They just realized once they got out of residency and went into practice, they had a money machine. It's like having a machine in your basement where you go clunk, 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 and American dollars come flying out. People don't realize how disgusting that is. Isn't that awful? They didn't offer alternatives. If every cardiologist said, you know what, I can offer you the alligator procedure that's just a quick catheter up your leg, or even easier, I'm going to put you on the ECC, you lay on a table, it's a little uncomfortable. If you get up to 220 pressure, but most are on it, need you 200 millimeters. And you have your legs pulsed for 35 days in a row for an hour. And you take our nutraceuticals, maybe some peptides, and you're going to grow new blood vessels. And your angina is going to go away, and you're going to be able to have sex with your wife again without having a heart attack. Isn't that crazy? And guess
sounds
what? We don't even take a saw out and split your sternum, pull it apart like you're a big lobster, where we split the lobster, you know, pull it up so we get the meat out of the tail. We don't need to split you like a lobster. Isn't that? And then, of course, afterward, you can tell it's really, really beautiful. You got these steel staples down the middle of your sternum because they had to crack you open like a lobster.
Yeah.
Nasty. People say, mm-hmm. No, they wouldn't do that to me. I said, are you kidding, knucklehead? And you can see that, you can almost hear the cash register going in the operating room. Ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. People say, no, Dr. Deagle, it's not that bad. I said, you're an idiot. I said, I'm on the inside. I've done most of these different surgeries or assisted in it. I've assisted in cardiac bypasses, peripheral vascular, orthopedic plastic, or done it myself. Trauma surgery, abdominal surgery, I can tell you, it's a racket.
Yep.
It's a racket. You know, if we give you an alternative, you take cardiovascular and say, hey, guess what? 5 years from now, you go to your latest Swami. You know, he's got a Swami hat on. He's got his crystal ball. Come into my room. Put out your hands. Oh, I see you have a long lifeline. You're going to listen to Dr. Deagle, and you're going to take cardiovascular. That's why you're going to live long. And your brother is not listening, is going to need a bypass, and you'll bury him. But you will have cardiovascular. And if you do develop coronaries, you get an ECCP, take your cardiovascular and other supplements, you live long and prosper, not like your brother. Pretty funny, hey?
Mm-hmm.
So, anybody over 20 with hypertension, anybody with poor perfusion on an endopat or endothelix test, anybody that has shortness of breath, chest pain, even without symptoms, your hands and feet get cold, or you have low exercise tolerance, you have to assume you have a circulatory problem and you're heading to the big one, like Jackie Gleason said to Alice, Alice, I feel a big one coming on. Well, don't let it come on. Don't die. Take your cardiovascular.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.